Hello, everybody. Welcome to week 15 of the Amazing Career Project. Holy cow. We are coming close to the end, my friends, and I'm loving what you're all sharing on Facebook, and I'm loving how Cecilia, a former member, and Havala, are staying connected and sharing what they are experiencing. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. So let me just do something, make sure my recording's going here. Great. There's a lot to talk to you about. Today we're talking about 9 skills you need to succeed in your amazing career. And I want to go through all those, and I want to take all your questions. But before I do, I want to share with you a little, some personal information that, you know, I think relates to this whole amazing career journey. And I want to address Cecilia's Facebook comments, which I thought were so candid and honest and courageous, and also very revealing about how millions of us look at what's happening in our lives. So I want to tie it all in with a story. Basically, go to the Facebook page and see what Cecilia has written. But, well, why don't I read it? I have access to that. Let me do that right this minute. I have to call that up on my computer. Let me get it. Quickly. As I'm typing here, what I want to share is that no matter how much training we get, how much self-help we get, when the shit hits the fan, can I say that? When what we consider really hard, bad stuff happens, a lot of our learning flies out the window because we're in pain, we're afraid, we're confused, we're hurt, we feel betrayed. It just goes right out the window. I think this pertains really deeply to our career, to our livelihood, to the work that we're doing, to how we get paid, to how we relate to people. And I'm going to share a little bit of a story of what I'm going through right this minute. And, you know, just because I teach this doesn't mean I'm, you know, incredibly evolved and don't struggle myself. And I want to tell you, I go back to my own book, Breakdown Breakthrough. I read it. I read the chapter I need to read. I go back, and it's crazy. I'm teaching this both in this course and in a coach certification course. And what I'm talking about, it almost always pertains to something deep that I'm going through at the time. So what that says is you're never done, right? This is a process of deep learning and transformation, so that we're really never done. When you look at this, and I hope you will, this material next year and the year after, and when you're 50 and when you're 55, you're going to see it in a completely different way. I mean, I do. It's crazy. I wrote it several years ago, but I see it differently every single time I look at it. So Cecilia says, thanks for this reminder, Havala. It's more than a year since I finished my course with Kathy, and I have mixed feelings of either not having done it right or not being ready for the information I learned and still have yet to learn. I left the start I was at nearly a year ago and just got back last week from a month-long trip around the world. It's gotten to the point where I need to get back to working again, and it's not a matter of finding the perfect job, but something close enough to get me back in the workforce. Staying out is having negative effects on me and my well-being. The journey continues. So what I want to focus on here is, because I believe that every single person that I've ever met has some of these same feelings, that she says, I have mixed feelings of either not having done it right or not being ready for the information I learned and still have yet to learn. So what I share, and do check out my note there, is two things. We often attach to an outcome, and we'll use this course as kind of a microcosm for that. I'll take Kathy's course, and by the end of 16 weeks, I will have a new career, and it'll rock. And, you know, I'm really careful in the marketing of this, that I don't promise that. I don't promise that. I promise transformation. If you put yourself into this, you're going to be transformed in some way. But I don't promise that you're going to have a new career completely ziplocked and ready to go by 16 weeks, because for the vast majority of us, it takes longer than that. Some not. Some, as you can see, get right on it. But what Cecilia says is, I feel like I haven't done it right, or I wasn't ready. So what that implies is that I attached to an outcome and I didn't get it, and that means I'm the loser. I did it wrong. I'm not ready. I'm not smart enough. I didn't learn what I needed to learn. I'm still half-baked. You know, there's a lot of negativity. There's a lot of and I know Cecilia is very positive. She's not a negative person, but she would agree. She's probably feeling pretty beaten up here, the negative effects on my own well-being. So, you know, if there's one thing I can teach you in this program, it's this. When the stuff happens in your life that your ego or your discerning mind says, gosh, that's terrible. Yeah, you're going to feel pain, and you got to let yourself cry, and you got to let yourself feel it. But if you stay there too long, what you do is sabotage your ability to pick yourself up by the bootstraps and get going. So let me give you a little example of this, and I can't go into too many details, but and I won't bore you, but you all know I write on a number of platforms, and a number of them are important to me, very important to me. And something happened over the weekend that made me realize in a really cosmic 2x4 brutal way that what I had been doing and killing myself to do actually wasn't going to be in my own best interest. And the way I learned it was, there's some new rules coming down that are dictating how I have to do things. And I cried. I cried the whole weekend. You can read all about that on my Let's Please Ourselves blog post at KathyCaprino.com. I started a 30-day please myself challenge that I'd love you all to join. And I'm doing it. I'm really committed to it. This is day 3, I think it is. And I'm doing what I said I was going to do, which is I wake up in the morning and I focus on 10 minutes on what is going to please me today. And you can read all about it, but what I've realized, and I see this with almost every woman I deal with, we are people pleasers to the core. We are such people pleasers that we don't even know we're people pleasers, that what motivates us is to please and to have people like us. And that can be actually an incredibly crushing, crippling way to operate in the world. And it's a lot about boundaries, but, you know, I'm starting to write book 2 here, as you know, and I'm going to talk a lot about that. So what went down over the weekend was so hard for me. I cried all Saturday. I woke up crying on Sunday, a real mini breakdown. And, you know, you have to feel that. You can't just stop yourself. You've got to let it run through. But now, on Thursday, you know, almost a week after, I'm starting to see really clearly why that happened. And the messages I was not getting, were not getting in my life that were holding me back. So what I want to really impart here is, when it doesn't go the way you think it should go, number one, it's really a sign for you to step back and look at why are you over-attaching to, where's the lesson in what you're over-attaching to? Maybe what you're over-attaching to is the exact problem. And so you had to get a lot of signs that what you thought was right is actually not making you happy. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, you're never just going to arrive and not have problems. You know, the human condition, it generates challenges. That's it. I mean, it's never going to be a year of not one problem. So the way to look at your problems, your challenges, are and I teach this to myself every day. Okay, wow, I don't really want to be in this boat. What do I do now? What do I learn so I won't ever have to feel like this again? And part of it is external action, but part of it is how you process it internally. So does anyone have any questions about that before I move on to today's 9 skills you need to succeed? Start to it. Anybody have a question? Here's one. Is this Nancy?
Yes, it is.
Hello. How are you?
Hello. I'm great. How are you?
Good. We haven't heard from you in a few weeks.
I know, because I was at that place that you described about 5 minutes ago, I failed.
Yep.
But I want to tell you and everyone listening that I've had a transformation. I've not, and this is a little speech of gratitude for the whole program, because I haven't met the goal.
Yeah.
But
and the goal was, just so we know, Nancy, what was the goal in your mind?
The goal was at least to identify what it is. What is this thing? What is the thing I'm going for? You know, because I had 3 avenues I was looking at. And
right.
But I have to say, I learned something so valuable, and I point to a couple of the modules that had to do with not throwing the baby out with the bath water and fit and form, because through this process, you really understand why you made the job or career choices that you made. And those choices are not sad choices. Mm-hmm. You made those choices because they fit. And
wow.
I choose the kind of environments I've chosen, whatever,
mm-hmm.
for a reason, because they fit. And while you can 10 years later find yourself in a stale situation or tired or bored, I realized something else when the module that had to do with having the courage to critique yourself. And I noticed that I was always standing back and judging the organizations that I worked in. Oh, corporate this. Oh, rah, rah, that. Ugh, you know, what are they talking? Why are they so rah, rah? And I'm like, why, you know, can I be that way? And I thought, you know what, Nancy? It's a choice. If it's not natural for you, you can at least try to put that on. And I'm not saying I'm going to stay in my job for another 10 years, but what I'm saying is that I was always looking critically at my employers, and I think it's time to give them a little bit of a break and cut them some slack and try to be, you know, I wanted to control my situation here. I wanted to decide who gets to interrupt me and not, and that's not my job. My job here is to serve. And it's hard. It's hard because I'm interrupted all day long in many different ways. But if I can just let go of controlling it the way other people can, because I'm an order, neat and order, tidy, and what do you mean now you need extra help, or you have to ask me that question for the 5th time? Well, that's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. You know?
That's a total transformation.
Yeah, it is a transformation. It is. I mean, I still have a long, long way to go. I don't think I'll stay here forever, and I don't think I'll stay in this field forever, but where I am right now, it's like a religious experience.
You
just
sound like a changed person.
I am. And
energy.
I know.
Voice.
I know.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
I know.
I really mean it. You see, sound, and everyone can chime in here, send a note,
right.
But
yeah.
You sound, the anger is gone.
Mm-hmm.
The hurt
mm-hmm.
is gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
right.
What I'm hearing is acceptance in the most beautiful way, that
mm-hmm.
you're not resisting what is anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. And, you know, I'm going through this, I swear to you, right this minute, you know, the platform that I write for, I got mad at them. What a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
They have corporate mandates. They've got to do it the way they've got to do it. I think why I got mad at them is that I took it personally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what we do. How
mm-hmm.
dare you ask this of me?
Mm-hmm.
How dare you constrain mm-hmm. my amazing creativity?
Right.
It's not about me.
Right.
And your organization is not about you.
No, it's not.
Right? Oh, my gosh. So you're so right. I can break myself against this brick wall,
mm-hmm.
or I can let go of how they have to be,
mm-hmm.
and realize that as long as they're paying me,
yeah,
I can choose to fit what they need, or I can leave.
Right.
Oh, my
right.
God. It's a transformation, Nancy.
I know.
Let me just ask this. Do you see that how this change has come about, other people are seeing it? Is it changing what
yeah.
happens at work?
A couple people have noticed, and it's also tied to the fact that, you know, I've talked about this very early on. My friend did pass away, and it relieved the strain of trying to do this job and attend to her at the same time. And so that's a big part of it. But with that came this other gift of, you know, are you gonna sit here and resist everything that goes on, you know, because you want out and you want out now? Or are you going to, you know...
This gift. What is the gift in your mind?
Well, the gift is, you know, like you said, this acceptance. And, you know, like when I had that issue with my boss, you know, 4 weeks ago, I mean, that wasn't about me. That was about him just hitting his own wall, you know. It was unfortunate that, you know, it was unfortunate that he...
you were in the wake of that.
Yeah, but he's not thinking about me and how much I suck. He's thinking about... what he needs to get done. He's, you know, what he needs to get done in this environment. So,
I don't even have a word. I got a tear in my eye. I do.
I'm truly grateful. I really am. I really, really am for this program.
And I'm grateful to you for toughing it out.
Yeah.
Because I know you, and I know everybody else on the call who isn't where they want to be.
Right.
It makes you mad. What did I get myself into? Kathy sold me a bill of goods. I don't know what you're thinking, but what the heck is this?
Mm-hmm.
But when you can tough it out, including when you're way past this course and the quote-unquote bad stuff happens, when you can tough through it and say, wait a minute.
Yeah.
How can I change how I'm feeling and operating?
Right.
That's
right.
When the world changes. Oh, thank you for sharing, Nancy.
You're so welcome. You're so very welcome.
I'm so appreciative. All right. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Wow. Oh, so great. And who do we have? Who's Washington?
Hi, this is Lisa Cook.
Hi, Lisa. I should know that by now. How is it that you're in? How are you?
I'm doing great, and I just wanted to say to Nancy, just and you, Kathy, how inspiring it is to hear her transformation. And I do literally hear it in her voice, and I hear it in her tone, and I hear it in her attitude. And she has inspired me. I need to have a talk with somebody today who has always been quite threatened by me, but I'm going to go in there and ask for his help. A transformation for me.
And how is that transformative for you? Would you normally be pushing against him because he's so threatened by you?
Or not pushing against, but almost like staying out of his way. And you know, and that, which is what I'm kind of taught to just kind of go on my own. So this is going to be, you know, probably a surprise for him. I'm not going to attach to the outcome. I'm going to try not to attach to the outcome, but I'm going to try to put on the cloak that Nancy did, you know, where we're not enemies. This is, you know, we're trying to all make this work. We all want to be happy at work. And, you know, is there a role that, you know, we can, if there's something we can do here together to make things better? I'm going to posit something that I'm going to suggest something. And then just see what happens. But I wanted to thank you, and I wanted to thank Nancy, because I truly do hear something very different in her voice, and I just want to say she inspired me this morning. So thank you.
Oh, so awesome. I love it. I so love it, and I couldn't agree more. So, Lisa, I'm going through something. Just 5 minutes ago, I went through something I feel is a little similar. Can I share with you what I've learned? And I'm not great at this. So here's the deal. I wrote a Forbes interview yesterday with an amazing woman who founded Engineering for Kids because she was an engineering teacher, and she saw that girls are not encouraged to go into engineering, and she wanted to change that, and she wanted children who have natural engineering loves, they get it beaten out of them, and she wanted to change that. So it's a really inspiring article. So Forbes Woman posted it in Forbes, their Forbes Woman Facebook page. So this is what I want to share. I say in the excerpt something like bemoaning what we don't like. How did I put it? Something like bemoaning what we don't like doesn't change things. Action changes things. And yeah. Dory Roberts chooses action. Oh, or bemoaning the challenges women face in the workplace, you know, isn't productive. Yeah. Action is productive. And I believe that with all. I mean, and when I said bemoaning, I'm an English major, right? Like that word means whining to me. You know, complaining, whining. That doesn't mean we don't speak up. Of course, we have to speak up. But bemoaning means something. So, a woman wrote me. A woman commented on the Facebook page. I don't agree with you at all. Bemoaning is important. It's critical. It's what happens first. So I write back, okay, but I don't see it that way. I see bemoaning as whining, you know, something to this effect, and that blah, blah, blah. Well, she got furious and said, oh, great, you're telling us first how we should think, and now you're telling me about the English language. Here's what the Webster's Dictionary says about, and she went off. So here's what I know. Here's what I know. I pissed her off.
Yes.
She took it personally because she probably bemoans. She probably, you know, talks up, and she thought I was putting her down. Number three, no amount of explanation from me was going to repair that. I could give 500 comments about what I meant. She was offended. So the only way I felt to respond is, sorry I offended. Speaking up is huge, and we all have to do what we want, what we believe. Now, that isn't going to appease her, but the point that I'm making is when someone feels threatened, you can't go at them at the level of reason.
Yeah, exactly.
And I have no idea how you're going to approach this guy, but what I do know is if you went in there and tried to say, in the kindest, most loving way, I see that, you know, things aren't great with us. Let's figure it out. That's only going to threaten him more.
Yeah.
And I learned this in therapy, and it might sound like manipulation, but when we're in that situation, we have to take the one down. We have to say, I need your help, and mean it. So when I had a pedophile, or he wasn't a pedophile, it was a guy who beat up his daughter, and he was in therapy. Well, I hate that. And I have all sorts of ideas about what happens when guys beat up their daughters. But if I'm going to be a therapist and help him, I can't come at him like that. And he was threatened by me, you know, some feminist woman going to tell me I can't hit my daughter.
Sure. Yeah.
So the point was I said, I took the one down. I said, look, you, whatever his name is, Tom, you know yourself best. How do you feel when you hit your daughter? Well, she deserved it, but, you know, in the end he tells me I don't feel good about it. All right. Yeah. What do you think led you to do that? So I really took a one down. That he's the expert in his life. And, you know, it got through. Am I making sense?
Yes, it does. That helps. I can see how I could open this conversation doing that very, very easily.
Great.
Very naturally, yes.
And the bottom line is you have to really feel it. You have to feel that you need this guy's help. Otherwise, nothing goes right. Mm-hmm. But I will you let us know how it goes?
I absolutely will. Yes, if I can get to him today, and I think I can. I'll just see how his schedule looks. I'll post it tonight. How it goes on Facebook.
Oh gosh, I hope that the entire group, everyone on this call, is going to send up, you know, positive vibes for you.
Because, thank you.
You know, I want this to go the way you want it to go, and I want us to have evidence that how we approach challenges and how we think about ourselves and others actually changes everything that happens. Oh, good luck. You don't
Thank
need good
you.
Luck. All the
best.
Thank you for sharing. Holy cow. You guys are awesome, I got to say. Anybody else has something to share about this whole issue, about I attach to the outcome and I'm feeling a little less than, anything about it? I'm going to go and see. Oh, yay. So Wendy has shared this. Hi, Wendy. How to address that we can be wronged, i.e., that I feel compelled to reconcile, to make sure there is peace and goodwill. So let me understand this. She says, I instigate that process rather than let the other person get it and see if they feel the need to apologize or show a sign of remorse. Work-wise, I'm happy every day I'm doing this program because, like coaching, it asks the questions we can't ask of ourselves, always ask of ourselves. So true, Wendy. And when I finally allowed myself to answer honestly, I could take responsibility for why I have done what I've done. Life circumstances don't always give you freedom for all choices, but some choices we make led to that. So we did sort of set ourselves in a direction. 100% right. That's it. So I am okay with that, and now okay with even exploring the areas that I'm really interested in and use the experiences I have to help me move forward. A hard part is when you realize people close in your life are not healthy for you, and taking steps towards a healthier involvement with this. Yeah, it's hard to admit, but that is a step, and that feels good too. This is fantastic. And you're right. None of this is easy. None of this is easy. Why? Because I think we didn't learn how to manage our lives in a way that helps us recognize who we really are, what we're really capable of, right? And that it's all right to go for the things we uniquely love, even though it makes people upset. We're not trained to do this. You know, this should be our kindergarten class. It's okay to make people upset. Here's how to handle it. You know, we're not taught this. And in our families, we're taught so often messages that are not to our best interest. So, Wendy, let me understand this. You say how to address that we can be wronged, and I feel compelled to conciliate is, I think, what you mean, right? To make sure there's peace. So if I understand you correctly, what you're saying is when someone's done something that you think hurts you, you are the one that reaches out to make sure there's peace and goodwill. Well, I mean, I would say that that's a boundary issue around, and I hear you, I feel these too, that it's really uncomfortable for you to have out there in the world someone who's not happy with you. And you want to fix that. The thing I'd ask you is, isn't it possible that your discomfort with someone being mad at you is actually continuing the process of people wronging you? Because you're not able to stand up for yourself and say, you know what, this doesn't work for me. So until we can say that, and you know, again, I'm living that. I had to stand up and make a stand for myself this weekend. It's not easy for people pleasers. But if you feel the need to make nice, I think what that says is you are then creating the continual pathway for people to wrong you, because you're not saying out loud to the universe, what you did feels wrong. Wrong is not the right word. What you did doesn't work for me. I mean, who can argue with that? What you did and what you said is not a fit to what I want. Nobody can argue with that. So I hope that's helpful. All these questions are unbelievably wonderful and rich and deep. Thank you. Anybody else want to share? It's a little like we're going way deep here. Thank you for bearing with us. This is where the juice is, if you ask me. This is the life-changing stuff. And it's going to help you determine, you know, if you can't do these things, you can't identify a path that's going to make you happy, because there's so many layers of pleasing and not standing up for ourselves and, you know, not setting that boundary. All right, let me go to the slides here. I've got a little time. And again, we're talking about the 9 skills you need. So that's a big number, right? And people are probably like, gosh, I got to do all this and 9 skills. So don't beat yourself up. Don't make yourself less than. This takes time. But this is the truth. These skills are essential if you want joy and happiness in your work and in your life. So the takeaway is you need these 9 essential skills to support you in your amazing career. Do you know how well you're doing in these 9 areas? And I would say, before we go one step further, no, not everybody, nobody has all these rocking at the same level. Nobody. So this is an aspirational lesson. You're not going to look at yourself today and say, I'm a 10 out of 10 in all of these. We didn't get the training. How would we be? How would we be, you know, acing all of these? We didn't learn this stuff. So this is not for you to feel less than. This is for you to say, okay, now I have a clear vision of the 9 things I really should work on, and maybe I'm really awesome at 6 of them. So here's the whole list. I'm just going to read them now, but then talk more in depth. Self-awareness and emotional intelligence. I feel that's the top skill that anyone needs. When you have that, you can have all the others. When you don't have self-awareness and you don't have emotional intelligence, you can't do the rest of it, because you keep bumping your head against the brick wall, not knowing that it's within you. The second is communication skill. We've talked a lot about that. Third, building relationships. Fourth, decision-making. I want to talk about that too. Fifth is leadership. I don't mean that you have to be a CEO of a multi-billion-dollar company. I mean you need to be the leader of your own life. If you can't lead your own life, you can't lead anything else. Number 6 is advocating and negotiating. We have to learn how to do it. And wow, so many of us, women in particular, are challenged with this. Number 7 is balance, work-life balance. You know, you can find the most amazing career or job, but if you are not balanced, and this is another thing that I collapsed into a heap over the weekend about. And, you know, this is a perfect walking example. I love my work, but it had gotten to the point where I could not keep up with it. I can't keep up with the pitches for my blogs. I can't keep up with the 100 of people a month I hear from who want one-on-one help but can't pay. I can't keep up. So when you have balance issues, you have to change things. You have to, or, you know, there'll be a crisis. Number 8 is boundary enforcement. We've talked all about that. And number 9 is career planning and management. And this is where the vast majority of us have never had one piece of advice, wisdom, teaching. We don't know how to do it. And that's why we're here. All right? So let me go to, it's not in the slides. In your homework, I really want to point you to that. There's a chart that talks about each skill area, how you need to know that skill area needs improvement, and the first step to take to address it. So it's as concrete and specific and practical as I could get without knowing each of your specific issues. But let me give you an example. Let's look at communication skill. How do you know you need work? Your communication doesn't generate the results you need and want. Bing! End of story. It's not about them. If continually what you ask for or what you stand up and say or what you present at a meeting doesn't go well, the common denominator is how you're communicating. Building relationships. If you feel unsupported and alone and others tell you you're not supportive, you know you have to start repairing relationships. You have to interrelate differently. So the slides here are showing, you know, exactly how you're going to know. So let me go through it. Self-awareness. How do you know you need help? You have chronic problems with interpersonal relationships and people don't understand you. And and you don't understand them. And you don't understand yourself. You know? That reminds me, when things are happening, like, that are challenging, and when they're good, you know, we don't always have to have the light focused on the negative. Let's look at when they're good. Why does this feel so good? What about who I am makes this so wonderful? You know, really understand yourself. When you understand yourself and can look with the most loving eyes at who you really are, everything changes. All right. We talked about communication skill. We talked about building relationships, decision making. How do you know you need work? When you feel at sea with the decisions in front of you and you don't know how to process through. It's interesting, you know. I have done a lot of work on this, and I've gotten really good at making decisions. What I'm still in deep need of improvement on is I will make a decision and commit, and sometimes I'll commit time and money and resources, and it has often taken me too long, and that sounds like a judgment, longer than it needed to say, that okay, I made that decision, I committed to it, I don't want this direction. It used to take me years, then it took me months, and now it's taking days. Like I'll launch a big thing, I'll start doing it and say, oh wow, okay, I'm following my lessons here, I'm trying it on, and I don't really like this. But now it doesn't take me years, and now it takes me days. So decision making, it's really about once you commit, do it, and then don't wait too long to say, all right, well, I learned a lot, but I don't like this. I'm going in a new path. It doesn't mean you failed. It means, wow, it means you succeeded. You succeeded in giving yourself the information you needed. All right, leadership. How do you know you need work? That you're a little more self-focused than other-focused. And you're excited more by growing yourself and your career than expanding the enterprise that you're in or supporting the success of others. And or you lack a clear vision of where you want to bring your organization, your life. So both of those things are important. Advocating and negotiating. You know you got a problem with this when you're challenged to speak up, stand up, advocate, negotiate for yourself and for others. And so much of that is about, I'm afraid they're going to be mad. I mean, women have told me that over and over. If I go into my boss and say, okay, here's what I've done now for the past year. When I look at the contributions I've made and brought in, you know, $4 million and blah, 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 I believe with all of these outcomes and all of these contributions, that warrants a sizable increase. Women will say, I'm scared that he won't like me if I stand up for myself. But the interesting thing is, if they have to go and advocate for someone else, they're fearless. Well, there you go. They're not worried when they advocate for their subordinate or their colleague or their peer or their assistant. They're not worried that when they go in there and say, look, my assistant needs this promotion and deserves this promotion. She is no longer doing these tasks. She's an assistant manager. There's a readiness in this organization to have that or in my division. You don't worry that how the boss is going to feel about that person, but when you advocate for yourself, you do. You've got to learn how to do it. Work-life balance. Well, you know this. It's like a cosmic 2x4. And don't wait till there's a crisis like I did, you know, that balancing your personal and professional needs and your health needs and your wellness needs is impossible. It means you're doing too much and you got to let go. And usually when you get to this point, you realize you're doing things you don't even want to do, but you think you do. Boundary enforcement. You find it hard to stand up for yourself and enforce your needs. All right? So I want to talk, too, about you're on week 15 here. And you know, we've, for some of you, we've cracked you open, like Nancy. She's had a true energetic transformation, and that is going to change everything. But she's not at the place where, you know, I know exactly what I want to do with my career. And many of you might be in exactly that same boat. So when you launch from this program, what I want you to remember is the process that this whole course has taken you through, and to keep going through it. So here's what I mean. Plant the seeds for your future self, but live fully in the present. Do both of those. So what that means is continually take these steps. And you know it because this is what the program is, but let me reiterate them. Step back for an empowered perspective of where you are and what you're capable of. Don't forget it. Don't forget that, wow, I've been interviewing and nobody wants me. I'm not capable of anything. Don't let the evidence of the outside world tell you that, because it's not accurate, right? Pull the viewfinder back and look at who you really are. Let go of those patterns and behaviors that are keeping you stuck. To do that, you have to look at yourself. You have to look at, oof, what is going on here, right? Why does this keep repeating? What am I doing? Yeah, and if you can't see that, get some external help, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Say yes to your compelling visions. Don't forget to do that, right? Don't look only at what I got to do today. Look at what visions, what dreams, what ideas, what directions make my heart beat with excitement just to do it, right? And then don't forget to dimensionalize those. And don't forget, too, to explore, to try on these new directions. So important. And this is the step that 98% of career changers or people who want to grow their careers don't know how to do. Because if you're in a corporate job, you don't know how to try on a new direction. You think they're going to find out. You think, you know, I can't intern. I can't volunteer. But there are so many ways you can try on the new direction without leaping. I know, because so many of the people I work with are doing that. Don't forget. And then the SMART plan. Don't forget. Specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely goals. And you're going to need somebody in your corner to help. You are going to need that. So, again, we'll talk about that in a minute. What I'd suggest that you do is 9 skills are a lot. You know, oh, no, I need all these now? Choose the 3 that of this list that you feel you need the most help going forward. And if 3 is too much, choose 1. I need communication. I need to learn how to advocate. I need balance. I'm exhausted and something's, you know what you need to do. So if you can't do 3, tackle 1. Get the added help you need from the mentor, from the sponsor, from Laura Neff, from me. Read a book. My gosh, there are so many amazing books. And you start with the ACP resource list, right? Explore the resource. It doesn't have to cost money. It doesn't have to take 6 months. You can go and ask one person, can you give me a little critique on my communication? And, if you're like me, critique is not easy, right? You almost brace yourself. You almost squinch up your eyes and go, ooh, I'm scared to hear it. If you can just get more comfortable with that, what could I do differently? It's an amazing thing. It's a life-changing thing to get more comfortable with critique. You can take a class. You can add a community college or an online certificate class, or go to 1 2-hour Saturday class to build it. You wouldn't believe how that closes those power gaps that I'm talking about. And you're going to be proud of yourself to see, like Nancy has, the transformation. The one thing I want to leave you with, too, is there's a wonderful book that was a life changer for me. I've mentioned it before, but it's such a breath of fresh air. It's called The Four Agreements, by Don Miguel Ruiz. And it's a beautiful, quick read, but I don't know why, frankly, it's such a life changer. I think it's the energy of his words. And it's a beautiful little book. I have it right on my shelf. Ooh, love it. Here are the 4 agreements. Be impeccable with your word. And I'm going to translate what these mean, but he says it in a much more eloquent, amazing way. Impeccable has as its root the word sin. And what he means is, do not sin against others or yourself with your word. It's crazy. Like when we're angry or when we're upset, we let the language fly. And when you listen, you're going to hear that you're sinning against yourself. You're saying words like, I'm stupid, or, you know, why am I so dense that I can't get this? Or you'll start saying really sinful words against yourself. And I'd love you to be careful about that, because even though you say it in a flippant way, those words are like weapons. That reminds me, I did a photo image that said, you know, you choose your words carefully. They could be a weapon or a beacon of light. And some guy writes, oh, thanks, Einstein, you know, making fun that it wasn't a genius comment. And I thought, okay, there's a guy using his words as a weapon. It's so ironic. Something about that touched in him to be mean. Fascinating. The second agreement is, don't take anything personally. Oh, just what Nancy was saying. And I swear to you, when things happen to you that hurt you, if you can pull back and say, what if I didn't take this personally? What if this were nothing about me? What would that mean? And what it usually means is, it's time for you to move on from some aspect of it. Right? The third is, don't make assumptions. Wow. I remember my very first job, my curmudgeon-y boss said, assuming makes an ass out of you and me. I laughed. But boy, is that true. We make assumptions 1,000 times a day about what people are thinking, why this happened. This is what our brain does. We try to make sense and fill in the gaps where we don't have information. And those gaps become stories that we tell ourselves. Why did this happen to me? Well, maybe it was because, you know, I said that mean thing last week, so he had to get back at me. Or, you know, oh my gosh, we fill it in. You know, they say even about dreams, we don't remember all of our dreams, so we remember snippets, so our brain then tries to fill in the missing information, and that isn't what the dream was at all. But our brain wants to fill it in. Don't do it. Don't make assumptions. But part of this is knowing what you're thinking, is pulling yourself back and saying, okay, what am I thinking about this? What's the story I'm telling, right? And the fourth is, always do your best. I find that so refreshing because, yeah, let's say we blow something. We say something in a way, you know, we behave in a way that we really regret. Who doesn't do that? I do. But if you realize, okay, wow, I don't want to do that again. But I did the best I could in that moment. I was feeling tired. I was feeling beleaguered. I'm crying. I'm feeling whatever, put upon. I did the best I could. I did the best I could. When you can remember that every night, when you put your head on the pillow, you can love yourself more and not make yourself wrong. Wow. All right. So I want to take your calls. We have 15 more minutes, but I do want to tell you, I want to give you a heads up. I always come to the end of these programs, and I'm sad to let you go because I love you all, and I so admire and appreciate and am inspired by the work you're doing, because it's not easy work, and you're a warrior, you know, really, to be looking at this stuff and doing what you're doing on top of everything else on your plate, managing your families, managing your bosses, interviewing, you know, whatever, starting your business, launching your website. You know, you really are warriors to me, you in the most beautiful sense. Champions of living better. So it's hard for me to let you go, but I need to let you go so that you can fly. But I want you to know at the end of this program, there's help for you if you want it. There's an amazing mastermind program, which is its six-month program run by Liz Scully, who is truly a mastermind guru. I know her, and I thank the world of her, and I can't tell you what I've heard about her masterminds. And what they do is they help you. It's a specially selected group, by Liz. She puts you together in groups of four or five and selects you by speaking to you and really figuring out what your style, approach, and your needs are and putting you in specially selected groups. And masterminds, if you've never been in one, you know, they help you meet regularly and you have time to really talk about your challenges, whatever they are, and you get clarity and accountability and support and structure. So it's a really powerful support program that's going to help you build on the progress you've made here and enhance on it. Enhance it. Again, you can read about that in amazingcareerproject.com/support. And I'll give you a little more detail about that. And I don't want you to forget that Laura Neff is here for you. I'm here for you if you ever need a tune-up, if you want 10 sessions, one session, if you want just an extra perspective. You're not alone here. All right? So I don't want you to feel like, you know, I'm pushing you out of the nest and there's no support. There's a lot of support. All right? So I want you to know that. Now, who has some last-minute questions here? I've got 10 minutes. Who's got them? Wendy, I see you on the call. I know, I love it that you're so active on Facebook. Who's got a question? Star 2 to raise your hand. Let me go back to the Q&A. All right, you know what I'm going to say about this. There's not much opportunity left for me to listen to what you're going through and offer some thoughts. Please, every one of you, I know you have a question. I know you must. So I'm staying on the line for 10 minutes. Who's going to be brave and ask your question? Wendy, why don't you do it? Can you start to it? You've been asking a lot of questions. I love it. And sharing. What's your question? I'm putting you on the spot. I know that. You're going to start to? Or if you can't talk where you are, submit it online. Da-da-da-da-da. All right, my friends. I'm not giving up on you. I'm pushing you. Who has a question? There's so much we talked about. I'm wondering how there cannot be a lot of questions. What do we have? Who's going to be brave? No? I'm wondering how that can be. Do you want me to call on you like a class? No? No one's going to ask? All right, thank you. Who's this?
It's Susan Marie.
Hello. How are you, Susan Marie?
I'm good. I'm in Utah on vacation.
Oh.
But there's a big storm outside right now, so I got online.
Oh, how wonderful. And thank you for raising your hand. Do you have a question or a comment?
You know what? I have a comment. I don't have a question. I just wanted to, if people aren't reading the book, they should read the book because...
My book, you mean? Breakdown, Breakthrough?
Yep.
Oh, thank you. Tell me why. Why should they read it?
You know what? I've gotten a lot of affirmations from this book. And the big thing when you just said, you know, you're not alone, that was my first thing when I first got on the phone with everybody, it's like, you know what? Everybody's in the same boat. We always forget that it's not just us. And I think that is the biggest thing I carry away from this because somehow I got caught up in everything and I was thinking, oh my gosh, all this stuff, pressure, this, that, and the other thing. Not just us. Everybody's in the same boat. Take it one step at a time. Do what you can do. Every little failure is a mustard seed to success. And a big thing I took away from, it's on page 119, is this whole piece of, I mean, I couldn't figure it out. At work, I was like, how did the culture go from trusting, respecting, and collaboration to total competition and infighting and this craziness? And I thought, you know what, it's okay. If the company needs to do that and be that now, it's okay. I don't need to make them wrong. I can just go find a company that is in the trust, respect, collaboration, and integrity mode, because that's what I want. Because
that's
where I
thrive. Gorgeous. Oh, my God. When did you have that realization? Just this week? That's amazing.
You know, I knew it, but I couldn't articulate it because I'm more visual. And then I read the words in the book, and I said, oh, that's how I can – these are words. Here's the words. I could draw the picture, and I was saying harmony, integrity, but I couldn't articulate it because I'm the visual part. I'll do the whole creative for you, the whole visual. I do great headlines and stuff, but to really pin it down, it said it on page 119.
Wow. That is so powerful. And, you know, I want to say, because I'm living this right now, you know, breaking my head against something that thankfully I'm gaining awareness. I think the reason we are so mad about a shift like that, like what happened, why did they get so cutthroat, is because really human beings do not want to make change. So we get angry when something we've committed to changes on us. But it's so unconscious that it gives rise to all of these emotions, anger and betrayal, and how did this happen, that we don't realize that it's simply because we don't, you know, what do they say? A body in motion stays in motion, and a body at rest stays at rest. We don't want to muster the energy to make a big change. We want it always to work out where we are. And that's, I think, why we resist what you just said, which is, all right, wow, this change is really not working for me. So I guess I just need to find another culture, another workplace. Right?
Yeah, and it's okay.
It's okay.
It really is okay. I've, you know, done great stuff there.
Wow.
I've met wonderful people there. And I also know my sweet spot is in growing a company to $2.7 billion. So
Wow.
I need to go to this smaller company where I have more impact and where they need my ideas and they need my input and they want it without question, as opposed to all this crazy and fighting stuff. In fact, somebody told me I'm not a fighter, I'm a lover. Somebody said, Marie, you really should just hang a flag of Switzerland on your door. You are Switzerland.
I love it. And you know what? What you're pointing out, I really believe this with every cell in my body. When something shifts that makes you miserable, when you do what you just did, what you're going to realize is, you are meant to leave that place. So, in other words, you're meant to bring that loving energy that you have and make the impact that you have made, but in a place that's going to love it, soak it in, and embrace it and love you for it. And it's only because the culture is such a misfit now do you realize it's time to go. So I promise that 100% of the time, that's the message, but we don't get the message. All we do is get mad at them. So you're on your way. I'm so excited you shared that. Thank you, Susan Marie. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for everything. You're a gift.
Thank you, my dear. You too. And you stay safe in that big storm.
Oh, we're good. We're tucked in at the bottom of the mountain. We're good.
Oh, gosh. Post a pic. I want to see that. Oh, have fun, and thank you for sharing. Thank you so much. All right, and do we have Lisa again?
Yes, if no one else has any questions,
yes.
I just wanted to ask for some help around specifics. You mentioned, Kathy, taking the step down. And how much of a, if I have an idea in my head, how specific should I be about it? Or should I just lead with kind of what's going on, just kind of emotionally, not rationally, but kind of an emotional my concerns more emotionally, and it doesn't have anything to do with our relationship. It has to do with work, our work.
Let's role play it. Let me be the guy. How about it? You want to
come?
All right. So what you can give me a name if it's his or whatever. What's my name? I'm going to be him.
Sure. We'll call him Tom.
Tom. Okay. So let me have it. Go ahead, Lisa. I'm going to put myself in Tom's shoes here. Go ahead.
Tom, thanks for taking the time to meet with me. I really need your help with something. As you know, my subspecialty is cytopathology. And, you know, Tom, we both know that the work in cytopathology is diminishing. The way pap smears are done, the way HPV testing is done. And, you know, I feel a need to get another subspecialty. And I wanted, you know, we've worked together for many years, and you probably know me better than anybody in the company as far as, you know, our work situation goes. Would you be willing to discuss with me over the next few weeks or months or however long it takes how I should best navigate through this? I admire you greatly. You're a wonderful colleague, and we work well together. I need your help with this. Do you have time for that now?
Okay, so I have a lot of thoughts, and I think that's a really great first stab. Let me ask something, and we're going to run over here, but that's okay with me. You said Tom was threatened by you. What's his role, and how is he threatened?
It's less so now. His role is president of the group.
Oh, he's the president.
And yes, and you know, he's done enough to diminish my impact and importance, so that he's probably less threatened now than in the past.
So let me just tell you what I think.
Okay.
He's not the one to ask this question.
Oh, okay.
Because you only want advice and mentorship and support from someone who is harmoniously aligned with your highest good. That's not him.
Well, when I was sent to coaching a year and a half ago, he is my sponsor in that. It's hard for me to know how that all,
You mean someone assigned him as your sponsor?
Oh, I have no idea how this happened, Kathy. This is completely, in this organization, nothing's transparent. So who knows how.
I mean, told you he's your sponsor? Someone told you?
He told me he's my sponsor.
But yet your sponsor has diminished your impact?
Yes, I'd say so, yes.
Okay, so he's not your sponsor. I don't give a shit what he says.
Okay.
So let's get really clear here. What do you want from him? Why do you want to have that conversation?
I was going to ask for a recommendation for a training program. Ultimately, I wasn't going to do it, you know, soon, but I was going to ask him for that.
And do you know what the area is that you want the training in?
Yes.
You already know. So let's just dimensionalize this, Lisa, in a lot of ways so you can understand this.
Okay.
So, number one, you've got a guy who is not on your side. So you don't want to be in a vulnerable situation with him because he's not on your side. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay. Number two, he told you he's your sponsor. That's a narcissism. He's not your sponsor. A sponsor, by definition, is someone who's a mentor who has power and clout to open doors for you. Is that him?
He would if he wanted to. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's any way you can transform this relationship that he would be on your side?
It's possible. It's possible, Kathy.
So what do you think, aside from asking him for this, which I don't think you're ready for because I don't think he's on your side yet, what could you do for him that would get him on your side?
Oh, gosh, I feel like my entire workday is surrounded by his needs and what and his schedule. So every day I come in, I've made his life easier.
Why do you think he, is he threatened by everyone else who works with him?
He makes sure that nobody is around him who could possibly threaten his
yes.
power
okay.
position.
So he's got a narcissistic personality disorder, possibly.
I'm not a psychiatrist. You would know better, but yes, that would fit. Yes.
Okay. So the narcissist, if he has it, is only safe when he surrounds himself with sycophantic people. Sycophantic bootlickers.
Oh, okay.
People who will yes him.
Okay.
If this is true, he doesn't take being challenged well.
No,
a narcissist,
no, that's,
is that right?
Oh, yes. That's
so,
absolutely.
Like in a meeting, if someone were to say, oh, Tom, you know, I hear where you're going, I don't agree. Oh, God, kiss of death. That person, they're going to get drummed out with a murderous rage. Is that him?
It's not a murderous rage at this point. it's kept better under control.
Okay.
Yes.
So do you feel you need him to, does he have to sign off on this new training?
It sure would make things easier, but it's not absolutely necessary. There are other people in the field who I know well and in my group and outside the group who can help me. I don't absolutely need him. It would just make life easier.
All right.
What
I'm afraid of, if you go in and say, I need a new subspecialty, want to help me work on it, you already know the subspecialty you want. So if he comes up with another idea and you don't like it, it's not going to help you. Right?
Okay.
Yes,
I agree with that. I think I'm going at this, you know, with a goal and a fairly specific goal in mind, even though I said I didn't want to do that. But with him, yes, there would be a very specific goal. I could just come right out and ask him for his help.
Is he your boss?
He's the president of the group. So we don't really have bosses. We're all owners.
But
unfortunately, there's this peculiarity with professional groups where there's a president and a, you know, so for a while, for a year or two or three, they sit in this position of authority. Very.
Yeah, I get it. So I, without knowing all the details, Lisa, I would say if your goal is this subspecialty and you want training, get it and don't involve him.
Okay.
But if you want a better relationship with him, you got to figure out how to get that.
Okay.
And while I said to you, what would you do to improve? You went to the place of everything I do is to help. That's not the answer I'm looking for. That answer reflects how frustrated you are that he's so domineering and such an ass.
Yes. Yes.
I want the answer to this question. What do you think you could do that would actually get him on your side? Because he's not on your side yet. So what you're doing isn't working. What could you do to get him on your side?
I feel like I do everything I can, so I'd have to give that somebody. I'm not sure I can answer that. I'm so enmeshed. I'd have to ask another colleague.
Is there
someone
who he loves in the organization?
No.
Is there someone who likes him? Is there anybody who likes him a lot?
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh, gosh. Then you know what I would do? Don't worry about it. Forget it. Don't try to repair it. He's not repairable. If there's no one who respects him and he doesn't respect anyone else, it's a hopeless case. Forget it. Go make your important connections with people who are going to help you, who are wonderful. What do you
okay.
think?
Okay. I can absolutely go that direction. It just that'll just be a few more phone calls, a few more steps. But if you think that's the safest thing to do, the best thing to do,
I feel like this guy's a landmine.
He is.
And you're going to go in with all your best intentions, and he's going to crush you down. Forget it. He's not your boss. I have another client, radiologist, same deal.
Yeah.
You know, these very powerful people with boards and the president. But she's a powerful woman. She doesn't need the president's anything.
Right.
So go and find the people who are going to love you and support you. Does that help?
It does. Yes. Yes, it does. Thank you, Kathy. Yeah. Kathy, are your sessions, your individual sessions, are still available at a discounted rate?
Absolutely. And you all get, for lifetime, you get 20% off all four of my sessions. The 1 hour, the 4-session Jumpstart Your Career Success, the 10-session Career Breakthrough, and the 6-month Career Mastery. The difference between the 6-month and the 10-session is we are going to actually meet every 2 weeks. With the 10-session program, you have 6 months to use those 10 sessions. I love the mastery program because I'm with you every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, we're working with the wonderful fodder that is your life. So, versus what some people do is, they wait a month and then we're starting over from scratch. They've gone backward a little bit. Or they went in and had this meeting because we didn't talk about it. Not that everyone needs my advice to do, but you're trying to figure out how to apply all of this transformational information. And, sometimes we don't get it quite right, and then we take a step back. So all of that is on my webpage at kathycaprino.com/coaching-services. You can see the four there, and you get a 20%, all of you, for life. 20% discount. So I hope I can help you all.
Thank you.
I would love that. Oh, thank you, Lisa. Let us know how it goes, will you? What you end up deciding.
I will. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everyone. I so appreciate it. I know this is, we're coming to the end, and that might make you a little nervous. You're all exactly where you need to be. Exactly. All right. Can't wait to talk to you next week. Have a wonderful week, and I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
The moderator.